We're live.
What up? Let's get weird. It is the playoff week two show round. I don't know. We're out of weeks. So week 19, 20, whatever the fuck it is. I am Tommy G. I'm your host. You are watching Stay Cashin'. We have a monster show for you guys today because golf is back and we are fucking smashing it. So we're going to be bringing on our boy Price Wallace to break down the golf with Tommy T's. Brian Healy joins us. Tommy T's did 4 hours of golf research, Healy. I got to keep this streak up. Plus 2,200 week one, plus 4,000 last week. Got to hit a banger this week.
Yeah, you got to keep riding the momentum. I mean, you're kind of paid for the first quarter of the season at least. Just keep riding the wave.
Got to keep it going. Bill, I know you like the golf. You've been dealing with fucking multiple fractures and just absolutely fracturing the bookmakers last weekend with your football bets. So, I don't know if you're back in golf mode yet. It might take you a week or two to get back in your normal routine with physical therapy and everything going on. But
No golf for me yet. I don't know. I might not even get back into golf. I'm not sure. Right. NASCAR comes in another couple weeks. I'm already looking into that. And, you guys have been doing golf. I mean,
you love it. Admit it. You love it.
I didn't have to, bro, golf sucks because you got to start looking Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, you're like, oh, I get a day off, and you're like, fuck, you got to put it in Wednesday night because the tournament started fucking in the morning, and then you're fucked. So I'm loving that you guys are picking it up slack. I don't have to do it. It's great.
Yeah, you're on fire, and focus. You crushed it.
Let me just focus on the Rams. I mean, I told you guys.
That's where I was going to go.
The Rams. Healy, during the show, put more money on the Rams. I told you Cam Akers was going to run wild, and the Rams were going to kill him. I mean, what else? Told Tommy it was going to be 14-0 before he could blink. I mean, it took to the second drive to get the first touchdown, not the first drive. It was 14-0 before he could blink, and the game was over.
We're going to get into that right now in a minute. You smashed that. Thankfully, you came out so emphatically, and I did end up putting the Rams in a parlay, which ended up winning. So I do owe you for that, Bill. And I hit your Cam Akers prop, too. So I thank you for that also. So Bill Rupp coming through. Putting some bunnies in our pockets. Evan, how was your last couple days since I spoke to you?
Well, last night I didn't listen to Ghost, who said that Tuukka was going to get annihilated last night.
I mean, that was insane.
Yeah, Tuukka 7-0. My bias, of course, I'm a Bruins fan, but man, that was terrible.
I think it was bigger than that, Evan. I think you're downplaying it because what I witnessed on the Twitterverse was Ghost posting a tweet before the game saying Tuukka is going to get rocked tonight. And then I saw you more than not listening to him. You actually quote tweeted it and said, no way, or something.
No,
I
said lies and propaganda.
Yeah, false lies and propaganda, you claimed. And just like Bill Rupp with the Rams, before we blinked, it was 4-0 in the first period for the Carolina Hurricanes. So the Night Ghost fucking staying hot, coming right out the fucking gate.
It's a valuable lesson. Don't bet against Ghost.
No.
He came on Rupp and Rackets 5:30 and said that was his favorite play. So as soon as I heard that, over 2.5 goals, all in, parlayed that with a basketball bet, and the Rupp Ghost parlay hit. So can't get much better than that. Rupp and Ghost, team now.
I mean, dude, only Bill Rupp can fucking take credit for Ghost's fucking hockey win. I mean, there's no one better here.
I mean, I added him in on it, didn't I? I didn't just say Rupp.
You did.
I mean, I put myself first.
Well, you did say the Rupp Ghost.
Well, my basketball bet was there, and Rupp and Ghost. I mean, what the fuck?
Rupp, Bill, you're on fire. I mean, you collected on Monday and you collected on Tuesday. So, I mean, double collection day for you. So, you're off my radar. I can't fuck with you this week.
Yeah, it's fun going through FanDuel with crutches on when the thing goes off. And they're like, oh, they got a wand. I'm like, guys, what? Come on. What, really? Like, what the fuck? What, do I got a gun? What, am I going to take over this place? Fucking crutches.
Yeah. So Healy, there's a couple hot topics I want to talk about here to start the show. And then we'll get into the picks. And then we're going to bring Price on and do the golf. And we're going to fucking smash across the board. But the first thing I tweeted out today, and I think it is perfect. Let me just see here. So my tweet today, and the statement I'd like to make, is how fucking amazing would it be for the fucking libtard vaxxed media to get smacked with an who's the big anti-vaxxer, and a Kyrie Irving NBA championship from the Nets, and both anti-vaxxers go out and win the crown at different months. So they got to fucking talk about this shit over and over and over again. Once Rodgers wins the Super Bowl, fuck you, anti-vaxxers win. Then when Kyrie wins the championship, fuck you, anti-vaxxers win. I think it would be the greatest thing in the fucking history of the world, and I'm rooting for it now.
Yeah, I mean, that would be certainly be curious. Do you think the media and the powers that be, Tommy, will force those guys to sit if their teams get to the championship game to prevent that?
I think it's pretty funny, Bill. Me and Bill talked about this on Ruppin Rackets in the morning, in the afternoon at 5:30 p.m. every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, where I said, because Bill brought up a great point. What happens if Tom Brady comes up with COVID, or what happens when Aaron Rodgers gets a positive COVID test? What was my comment to you, Bill? You will not see a single positive fucking COVID test.
One's going
to
get tested.
The whole fucking playoffs all of a sudden. And how many did we see this weekend?
None.
You're telling me this isn't fucking bullshit? You're telling me this whole thing wasn't fucking propaganda? As I told you, getting all these guys to get it all over the media to scare everyone. Now the playoffs start. No one's fucking COVID positive all of a sudden. First weekend, we saw 100 people a weekend getting COVID positive tests for four straight weeks. Now all of a sudden, zero people got it.
Well, it's going to be interesting in the NBA playoffs when Kyrie can play at home, or can't play at home, but he can play on the road. I mean, it just makes it, the Nets should maybe try to get a lower seed.
Yes, and that's where I was going next. Healy, your thoughts on the positive COVID test before we get to the next point.
I mean, it's bizarre. Well, it's not bizarre, but it's just, you knew it was, I mean, you couldn't have written it any better. Like, you knew it was going to happen this way. Like, you'll see the same thing happen with NBA. As they get close to playoff time, there'll be no more positive tests.
Is it fair to say, Healy, another win for the conspiracy theorists?
Yeah, chuckling up for Tommy G.
Well, it did go through the whole NBA. Basically, every team experienced COVID. So the question is, can you get it multiple times?
We saw that last year.
I mean, Gobert ruined the NBA in 2020, and he was just out for it again. I mean, why
different strain? Different strain, though. I guess I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I know.
Neither am I. But it's just protocol. Protocols are always going to be there. They're not going to change them.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite thing is the tweet the other day. The fucking libtard retard was fucking posting about Aaron Rodgers fucking, hold on, I gotta read the tweet. I'm not even gonna do it justice for what this fucking shit dick fucking actually wrote. Here it is. Paul Kogan, you're a fucking idiot, Paul Kogan. Just saying, Aaron, I love when they start that. Just saying. Yeah, no, just that's what we do on Twitter. We just say. So you don't need to start with just saying, because we're all just saying things on Twitter. Just saying, Aaron Rodgers is protesting in the name of MAGA, uninformed anti-vaxxers, and keeps his job. Yet Colin Kaepernick protests peacefully for equality and is rejected by the NFL. There is something seriously wrong with American society. This is what this fucking idiot wrote, to which I responded, cool story, bro. Here's a different narrative. One is a Super Bowl champ, MVP, and best quarterback in the NFL who decided not to put an experimental drug in his body, while the other one got benched for Blaine fucking Gabbert after going 3-16 in his final two seasons, dividing a team and doing all these things. And I posted pictures of Colin Kaepernick wearing a Fidel Castro shirt. Colin Kaepernick fined for using the N-word. Colin Kaepernick has never registered to vote in any election while he's preaching politics. And Colin Kaepernick wore socks with pigs on them, with cop hats, calling cops pigs. So let's not act like Colin Kaepernick was good or a good person. He was garbage. It's a completely different situation. That's it. Nothing, huh, guys?
I mean, that's your rant, not mine.
That's what I'm saying. Do you wanna fucking say anything about that? Do you agree?
I mean, I think the Colin Kaepernick thing has been brought up way too much, dragged through the mud. I've got no comment on that. I'm not gonna get back into that. I'm not gonna start arguing that. I just want that guy's name to disappear and never have to hear it again. I've never heard it again, and you just brought it up, so you kind of ruined
it. Unfortunately, someone brought it up for me. I didn't want to hear it again. Yeah. You made a point just now, which was something I wanted to lead with here, with the Kevin Durant injury out 4 to 6 weeks for the Nets. I think it's the best thing that can happen to the Nets, and I think the Nets should be tanking from pretty much after the All-Star break on. They should be tanking going forward to try and get the sixth seed so that they don't have to play as many home games in the playoffs and they get more Kyrie. What do you think of that?
I mean, it's – I don't know. I don't know what the Nets are going to do. They're talking about will Kyrie now get the shot because Durant is going to be out for 6 weeks.
No, you want – no.
Doesn't look like and then they're saying, will the Nets – you know, will they pull the rules and let him play? And they say no. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just going to be what it is. And Nets are going to have to do what they have to do. And then when he gets to the playoffs, it's going to be interesting. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be very stupid that he can't play at home. This is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Haley, what do you think? Do you think the Nets should be – because Kyrie came out. And listen, as someone who has the same stand as him, he's not going to get the vaccine. He literally said, he's like, I'm not going to say, because they asked him, now that KD's out, are you going to get it? He said, I was never going to get it because this is bigger than sports for me. I'm not doing this, no matter what the situation is. He said, I would leave the NBA before I did this. So, Healy, it doesn't look like he's going to get it, and he shouldn't. But do you think the Nets are better off losing games now to move down in the seeding so they don't have home court?
I mean, that would certainly make sense. I mean, isn't there – I believe there's like a fine that the Nets can play for like each game he plays at home, isn't there?
$5K a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so minimal. Come playoff time, like I'm assuming they'll pay $5K a game in order to have him eligible to play home games.
So they, wait a minute, they could pay $5,000 a game and he could play at home?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat just said the fine is $5K per game. Kyrie will be playing.
That if that's a I don't know how that slipped past me. I don't know if anyone in the chat has seen that. Steve's saying the same thing. Fine is $5K per game. Oh my god, if that's the fucking case, then what are we even talking about? Why is he even sitting now?
Yeah, I didn't hear the quantity. I believe something changed something in the rules that he's now could play, but there was going to be a fine. I didn't know what the amount was, but yeah, $5K is certainly laughable for a professional sports organization.
He'll be playing at home when the playoffs start. I mean, there's no way that he's not going to be playing. Right now, I'm saying he will be on the court at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, where I will not go, to play a game. He will be playing at that arena.
So this is from January 12th. I don't know how I missed this. I'm seeing this here from NBA Central. Kyrie Irving could be available in the Nets home games if Brooklyn is willing to pay a small fine. First offense is a warning. Second offense, $1K. Third, $2K. Fourth, $5K. And then every offense after that is $5,000.
Yeah.
That. Basically, why is he not playing right now?
Well, it's basically the same fine as if they catch somebody in the arena who's not vaccinated. Same thing.
But why is he not playing right now then?
Maybe trying to set precedent
or trying to look good I mean, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I mean, that makes no fucking sense why he's not playing right now then. That's the dumbest thing I've ever fucking heard in my entire life. Like he should.
Well, I mean, I don't know why isn't Philly trading Ben Simmons, Healy? I mean, I heard that they got a great offer the other day. Remember Tommy, I was telling you the offer they got.
They were getting like a first round pick. Who was it? Who were they getting?
First round pick. I forget.
I don't even remember what team it was from.
Yeah, but it was a great.
No, it was Detroit, I think, right? Weren't they getting like Sadiq Bey?
Oh, it was Bey. Yeah, Bey.
A first round pick and like two or three other players.
Olynyk and one other guy. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, a Detroit first round pick seems pretty fucking valuable.
it could be. I mean, there's a lot of speculation with Harden. That because he didn't sign the Big Max extension that was offered by the Nets, that he's going to be available in the summer.
So I asked Tommy that yesterday. Would you trade Harden for Simmons? And he said no, as a Nets fan. So
I don't want that. I just don't want Ben Simmons on my team. Not even the fact that he can't shoot. I mean, I know he can do a lot of other things. He's elite, pretty much, Healy, at every other thing.
The Nets really need another shooter.
But I mean, no, but that's he can't. No, but it's just the attitude that he has. I don't like him anymore as a person. He seems too Kyrie-ish with his fucking attitude. He seems fucking.
Don't you think having him come to the Nets and then playing Philly like he would just be twice as hard?
I watched the guy last year, and Healy as the NBA guru. I watched the guy last year literally be afraid to shoot the whole playoffs. So, yeah, maybe he could fix that on some level, but he just doesn't seem to have the mindset to be put in big situations and big decisions. And I think that's something that could be the yips forever for him. So I just don't want him for what you'd have to give up.
Yeah, I mean, I do think his surroundings there would be much better with Kyrie and KD. Like he realistically would play a Draymond role for them.
Wouldn't you say, yeah, I would say, wouldn't you say he wouldn't have to shoot at all? He would get like he would probably his big night would be 10 points.
Yeah,
correct?
But the problem is though, he didn't have to shoot it all for the Sixers, but the problem
no,
is
no, he kind of did. He
no, they go you're allowing score. Them to go double other people because they're literally leaving him alone like they did.
Well, they didn't really have any other scorers, Tommy. I mean, you know, you got Embiid and then you had fucking you know, you have one or I mean, you don't have the Nets. You're not the Nets.
Right. It'll be a better fit for sure. But you got to remember, you're taking Harden off in that situation.
Well, I don't know his exact contract. What's his contract, Healy? What does Simmons have left? You know, off the top of your head?
I don't. I think he still has two more years at least.
So one year of Harden. Maybe we win a championship. Maybe we don't. Or we have Simmons for the next two or three years.
Nah, I don't want anything to do with that guy right now. I don't. His head's not right, dude. He melted in Philly. He melted. You're going to put him in Brooklyn? I mean, you're putting him in another, you know, that dude needs to go out. Someone in the chat just said they heard rumors about Sacramento. That perfect spot. Like, that dude needs to go out west. He needs to go to a calm environment with easy fans who are going to love him and coddle him. Let him get a year like fucking therapy to get his fucking head right. And, you know, play a couple of years where there's no pressure and
he'll
then see
out
where
there.
He's at. But he
has two more years on his contract.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want anything to do with those two.
I like it. I think he'd be good on the Nets.
Nope. Don't want him. Don't want his head. Don't. Same way I said that it doesn't matter with Westbrook. Didn't want Westbrook on the fucking Lakers. That's a bad just people with bad heads. I didn't even want Kyrie on the Nets, but Kyrie's a super talent. So
well, now you brought that up. Healy, did you watch the game the other night? Tommy and I were watching the game. After that loss, when Magic Johnson came in and did all that tweeting and said that they weren't in there, we kind of thought the Lakers would come back maybe and win against Utah. You know, you would take over and everything. Westbrook didn't even really play.
Yeah, it was good.
So, he's struggling.
I don't know if that was LeBron like entering in saying let's you know this experiment's not working. Let's put him to 25 minutes or so, but. The fourth quarter, he was hardly in there at all. That guy Johnson just took over. Basically, Johnson, like, took his spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was – I don't know.
I mean, Stanley Johnson, he just had a good game.
Yeah, he had an out-of-body game. He's not going to have that every day. But yeah. I'm just saying Westbrook wasn't even involved in, like, the mix of 35 minutes. He wasn't even close.
Yeah, no, I mean, he pretty much sat – the end of the third and good chunk. He played like what last 3 minutes of the game, I believe it was after his first rotation in third. So it, I don't think that'll be what we see going forward, but you know, in that game, that's how it shook out, but he's been struggling for sure.
Yeah. It was a smart move by them they finally sat him for most of the fourth quarter. That was one of the smart moves when it was crunch time. They kept him off the court. The announcers even made a comment like, Russell Westbrook isn't back. And it's like, well, you know, when fucking Magic Johnson and everyone starts telling you need to win, maybe now you'll do the fucking thing that I said to do before the season started. Keep him off the fucking court in important spots and just move him in when LeBron's not on the court and tell him to fucking stop shooting. And it seemed like anytime he did something good, Healy, like the dunk or, you know, he had a big play at the end of the game on like a layup or something. LeBron was like over congratulating him, you know, like hugging him and picking him up and stuff. And I told Bill, it looks like LeBron had a talk with him before the game. Like, mm-hmm. Yo, this is what's coming down from the top. We need you to shoot a little less in these spots, bro. I mm-hmm. love you. Not my call. So then anytime he got a layup, LeBron was like, you're the man, you know, to bring him back up after knocking him down. That's exactly what it looked like.
I didn't think LeBron would think that AD would be out this long of a time. You know, maybe miss like a couple weeks here and there, but he's missed his pretty big chunk of the season and LeBron hasn't been able to rest and you know LeBron's not happy
he's fucking pissed off. The only reason he brought Westbrook was so he could sit out a couple months like you said. And he can't right now because of their fucking spot in the standings. So that's pretty much it for the hot topics, unless anyone has anything else they wanted to cover, any other news and notes going around in the association. We can move over to the hardwood here before we get to the fucking golf, which I'm the most excited about. So in the NBA right now, Healy, Things have been kind of neutralizing a little bit. You haven't had as many COVID things, right? It hasn't been as chaotic as it was a few weeks ago. Everything seems to be kind of normalizing a little bit.
Yeah, you don't have like widespread where, you know, teams have 4, 5, 6 pieces out for COVID when they're only playing like a 6, 7 man rotation. It certainly has normalized, but you know, there's still some key pieces that are out across the league, whether it's due to COVID or injury. And there's certainly some spots we can capitalize on. The schedule right now, this week is awful in my opinion. They play like 2 or 3 games one day, then they play 13 the next, and they play 2 games, and they, you know, it's I prefer like, you know, 6 to 8, 6 to 9 games a night, just a nice balance versus these are a little overwhelming at times when there's so many games on the board to make sure you go in depth enough to each of them.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say it's, I don't like that. You know, like last night you had one fucking game. I mean, you had the Warriors game, but everyone, we hit that wire to wire. It's probably the easiest bet of the year.
And Warriors. Against the Knicks at home. Yeah. Live bet. I mean, you every night you'll get it, guys. I mean,
and the refs did everything in their power to get in the way of that fucking game. Fucked all our same game parlays. I had D'Angelo Russell points, D'Angelo Russell assists, D'Angelo Russell fucking threes. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker gets 2 fouls in 30 seconds after having one, sits the whole second quarter. Then they don't bring him back in until 2 minutes left. I mean, I think every key player in the starting lineup for both teams last night had 5 fouls. It was insane.
And I think everybody we talked to had Russell assists. I mean, that's like a Harris touchdown or something like that. Like, you know, Debo touchdown last night. Everybody was on that play. Yeah. So that's how they got you, you know?
Yeah. If you don't believe these refs are fucking getting paid off or these sports books are involved with the leagues, you're out of your fucking minds. Just watch that game last night. And that's the perfect game to watch because it was an island game. It was the only game on. It was the New York Knicks in the Garden. Big game, a lot of stars playing in it. And the refs just fucking were just – everyone, like Bill said, everyone was on D'Angelo Russell, fucking assists. They took him off the court for pretty much the whole game. He still hit 4 threes, which we had 3 and 4 threes from Max Bet. But, I mean, Anthony Edwards looked like he was point shaving the whole second half. I don't know what the fuck – literally, if you watch the ASU documentary on Netflix – that's what Anthony Edwards did yesterday. Came out in the first half, balled out of control, missed a lot of threes, but balled out of control. And then in the second half, just got away from the ball or bounced it off his own leg to make sure that they didn't cover the three. It was fucking, it looked like they had 2 refs and Anthony Edwards in their pockets last night to make sure Minnesota didn't cover that 3 points.
What I think, Kemba Walker, I think should sit 10 games, sit 10 games. Because he sits 10 games, he comes out. I told Tom, as soon as I didn't even look yesterday. I wasn't even paying attention. I was tired. And I seen, meantime, while we're on the phone, I'm like, oh, shit, Kemba's in the starting lineup. And I wasn't even paying attention. I'm like, it's fucked. Everything's fucked. Barrett's fucked. Everyone's fucked. Because he's just going to shoot. He ended up having a fucking great night again 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
Being guarded by Anthony Edwards, who was leaving him wide open.
The night before with 10 days. I mean, 10 days, that's it. That's just what the guy needs. He should play, like, what, 8 games a season? And he'd average 30 points, fucking 5 threes. I mean, he'd be the best player in the league.
Just basically play each road trip. You know, you play a road trip, sit out 2 road trips, play again, and, yeah, he'd be phenomenal. They have plenty of guard depth. It's not like they're lacking at guards either.
I mean, it's absolutely – it was insane. I mean, I told Tom, I'm like, we're fucked. We're fucked because he's going to have a big game. And I knew it was happening, and I saw it, and then he just started hitting the shots, and he's taking all the shots.
Once he hits a shot or two, you know, he's just going to keep shooting. He's just going.
And I told Tommy about my Randall thing. Randall plays great when he gets his hair done.
Dude, that's great, dude. Every time – Bill said it the other day. I don't know where you heard it or something. But
yeah, it was on the radio. Some guy called in.
A caller on a radio show came in. And said that every time fucking Randall doesn't have his hair done, he sucks. And every time he has it done, it's good. And Bill, you pointed it out. And last night we saw the game. I was like, oh, Randall's hair's done. And he went ham.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and I don't know if it's transformation or it's a part of your uniform or just how you feel. You know what I'm saying?
It's the chicken and the egg, right? Like you look good, feel good, look good, right? Like if you wake up feeling good, you probably go get dressed up a little nicer and go out. And if you get dressed up a little nicer and go out, you end up feeling good. It's the chicken and the egg, but there's definitely something to it, dude. That's fucking so weird.
You know, like the white guys always have their hair combed over to the side or whatever, you know? The black dudes, you got to have your hair all nice, done and nut. You know, the white guys with the fades, the black guy in tight rolls and everything. When he's all rolled up and everything's ready, he's on point.
It's fucking
I'm telling you, there's something to it. Got to watch his hair. Watch
Haley,
his hair.
Haley, we need you to get info on his hair going into games for DFS and for betting. So let's get to some bets here. NBA, Haley, what are we looking at tonight? Obviously, my Charlotte Hornets are on the board, so you know I'm going to be fucking getting some action on that game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually just catching up on some news of potential Ben Simmons for Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, just saw.
Yeah, with the Kings. That's the hot and heavy one right now. Halliburton actually out on health and safety tonight. But tonight in the NBA, like I said, a lot of games on the slate tonight. Few opportunities to attack. First one I'm going to attack is with the Atlanta Hawks. And I'm going to take John Collins over 8.5 rebounds. They're catching the Timberwolves on a back-to-back. Last night, Timberwolves' second-worst rebounding team in the league, allowing nearly 60 opponent rebounds. And Collins should get a little bit of time playing backup center tonight to Okongwu. The Hawks were hesitant to go to Georgie Jang. He was a healthy do-not-play the other night in the same scenario. In a similar matchup, similar-sized team. So I think Collins gets the backup run where he sees a pretty nice rebounding percent increase with Clint Capella off the floor, like a 4% increase. So I like him over 8.5 rebounds in this one. Another bet, I know some folks, you know, from the site have kind of ridden over the last 2-3 weeks, Joel Embiid over 28.5 points facing off with the Magic, who are not very good defending the post. They're 23rd in the league defending opposing centers. And Embiid essentially has just been carrying this team. We've seen his shot attempts rise up. He's averaging over 20 shot attempts per game, and we know he gets to the stripe. He can obviously shoot foul shots extremely well. And I'm not too hesitant about the Sixers being double-digit dogs. I think, Tom, you highlighted this a week or two ago. The Magic, for whatever reason, when they're these big road dogs, they hang around in games. They very, very infrequently get blown out. So I have Embiid to see 32 to 34 minutes here. I think that's more than enough for him to get over that 28.5 point total. And then the last one I have for today, Joe Ingles of the Utah Jazz. So the Jazz are going to be without Donovan Mitchell tonight. And this is a spot, we're not sure if Ingles will start or Clarkson will start. Traditionally, they've left Clarkson on the bench to kind of come in as the sixth man. I think there's going to be some opportunity with Clarkson props once they're posted, but I like Ingles over 4.5 assists. Still a good facilitator of the basketball. However, this season, for when Conley and Mitchell are both play, he's always on the court with one of them. But tonight with Mitchell out, he will be able to run the second unit when Conley is off the floor, which – greatly increases his assist opportunity. So I like him over 4.5 assists tonight.
Okay. All right. Mr. Rupp.
Haley, I'm going to go right after one of your, I was going to steal one of Tommy's, which he's probably going to do anyway. So I'll leave that alone. John Collins, I'm going to go right with you. I like the rebounds, but I like his threes. Since you said, you know, he's going to get more minutes. Like I agree with, he's hit it. I think over one and a half. So 2+3s. I believe when I looked at it this morning, four or five games in a row, and maybe like 8 out of 10 or 7 out of 9, something like that. So I love that prop. When I was sitting in the chair getting my IV this morning, that popped out to me. So I love that a lot. Over 1.5 threes, and I'll let Tommy take Rozier. Tommy, if you'd like to take Rozier. If not, I mean, I can give it out.
I mean, I'll let you give it out. That's fine.
All right. I like his threes also tonight. I think he's going to score a lot of points. I like the matchup. So I think Rozier on the threes. I'm going to go both threes tonight. I'm going to take Collins and Rozier. I'm not going to go crazy on the going up the ladder like Tommy did the other day. I'm just going to take him over their totals and ride with those and have a couple more points, rebounds, and assist props for the chat later today.
What's the over on the threes there?
1.5 for Collins and Rozier. I'll get you in a minute just to double check.
You can just write it in the Google Doc, Bill. Do you have that in your email?
I don't have it open.
I'll send it to you.
All right. All right. Yeah, Evan will send it to you while I'm talking. You can just
2.5. 2.5.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to stay in that same game. Obviously, Charlotte's been a cash cow for us most of the year. I'm going to go with two guys here. I think you can go both these guys pretty heavy. I'll get Healy's lean on which one he prefers more. But I like both the Boston bigs in this game against Charlotte. Charlotte's a sieve against bigs. So I'm going to go Williams and Horford. I'm going to go Williams over 23.5 points, rebounds, and assists, and Horford over 16.5 points and rebounds. I think this is one of those situations where you should hit both, definitely easily can hit both, and one of them definitely hits in this game. So I think your worst-case scenario is a break-even on these two props. I think you could scale into them pretty heavy. Healy, who do you prefer there with Williams and Horford versus Charlotte?
Williams.
Robert Williams.
Yeah, Robert Williams for me. Horford, minutes finally up, back up a little bit, but still just struggling across the board. I'm always concerned about him just getting like 22 minutes out of nowhere. Williams just been smashing, so I lean him.
Yeah, Robert Williams definitely the safer play in this one. I think you should be able to get both those guys over their number.
Robert Williams double-double too is also in play.
Robert Williams double-double. What's the line on that?
+135. On that.
Yeah, I definitely like that. Let me write that down. Robert Williams, double. Yeah, I like that too. I do agree with Healy. Obviously, I think the Sixers and the Magic make for a fun DFS stack. It's a low total. It's a blowout game. No one's going to fucking go near it. And I think there are a couple spots here. We'll also tout the fact that one of my preseason futures coming back to life from the dead right now in the NBA. Obviously, we know my hero call that has been balling out of control. MVP, Embiid. I put Embiid in before the season started. I thought that was dead. That looks like it's coming back to life. Got him at like +1,500 or whatever it is. Not sure what it is now. But every time I turn on a show, everyone's talking about Embiid for potential MVP. So good to see that is not dead.
A great month. Yeah. His month has been off the charts.
Yeah, I mean, we got two MVPs for myself. I got John Morant at +2,700, and I got Embiid at +1,100. I mean, listen, we're looking at Jokic, Curry, and Giannis up at the top, and then it's Embiid and Morant. Durant's going to fall right out of it just because of this 4 to 6 week injury. But listen, I think Embiid and Morant still have some value at +1,000 and +1,500. We got a better line, though, if you follow.
As you were talking about the other day, yo, I mean, I wouldn't count out Giannis. You were saying it. His shooting has gotten tenfold better. I mean, I went back and looked at the stats after you were talking about it. His free throw percentage has gone way up. His shooting percentage has gone way up. Looks like a totally different person.
He's going to be a problem. He's going to be a serious problem. He's in that transitional period right now after watching Milwaukee for like 3 straight weeks. If you haven't been watching it, I was telling Bill the other day, Giannis is shooting like a different person. His mid-range jumper looks very good right now. His threes look better, and he's hitting like fucking, he hit 17 out of 17 from the free throw line the other day and followed it up with like 12 out of 15 or something. Like, his touch is there. He's been working on his game. He's notoriously one of the hardest workers in the entire NBA. And one of the reasons I actually started to like him a lot was they were talking about why he didn't go to a camp 3 years ago or 2 years ago with LeBron and all these other guys. He said, those are my enemies. I don't practice with my enemies. That was fucking awesome. And then he re-signed with Milwaukee, you know, when he easily, you know, he's talking about staying at Milwaukee for a while. I really like this kid a lot. I think he works on his game. So Giannis is developing a jump shot and the league needs to be careful. The problem right now is he hasn't learned how to stay Giannis and have that jump shot. He's staying back a lot and shoot it, falling in love with his jump shot a little bit. So once he learns to combine those two, Healy, and attack like he used to, and have the jumper as a number two instead of right now as a number one. This kid's going to be he's already a problem. He's going to be a real problem.
Yeah, and it's really going to benefit him come playoff time when the teams are, you know, compact. They play defense a little tighter, kind of can keep him away from the rim more so than they can in the regular season. He's going to have to be able to knock that down for sure.
And he can. It's like anyone else.
Especially those free throws.
Free throws are huge right now. I think he's shooting 80% from the line in January. Something insane, but yeah, so keep your eye on that, especially from a betting perspective and from a Giannis prop perspective. Let's go to NCAA real quick. I'm going to give you one play that I absolutely love today. I'm going to be digging into the rest. Yesterday, I had three main plays, three unit plays. It was Florida State, who actually beat Duke. That one won. Was pretty confident in that one. The other one was Oklahoma, who should have won versus Kansas, but they covered. Bill, you saw the end of that game. That's fucking insane. And then the craziest fucking bet. We had a three-team parlay in with Oklahoma, West Virginia, and Florida State on the money line paying like plus 2,500. And fucking Florida State won. Oklahoma should have fucking won. And the West Virginia game was, I told Bill on the phone, one of the worst losses of my betting career. I've never seen a team dominate for so long. They missed, and I'm not making this number up, West Virginia missed about 22 layups in the fucking fourth, in the second half of that game. That's not a lie. I showed a screenshot to Bill where they missed 9 layups in a minute and 30-second period. 9 layups and tip-ins in a minute and 30 seconds. So if West Virginia just could have made any layups, they win that game too outright.
You sent it to me. It's just Bridges misses layup, offensive rebound. Kragan misses layup, offensive rebound. Bridges misses layup, offensive rebound. Curry misses layup, defensive rebound. Curry misses layup.
I mean, it's literally here. Here's the screenshot of it.
No, it just keeps going back. I mean,
look at that.
It was offensive rebound after offensive rebound.
Ain't gonna make it in. And this was at a point where the game's like 53-50, where you need to fucking like stay there. And then they end up losing by fucking 7, of course, getting 6 or 9, getting 6. So it was a very frustrating game. Very frustrating. But I mean, listen, we were on the right side. So that's it. So we're on the right side of the three main games that we had yesterday. There's a game I absolutely love today. And you play it however you want, but this is definitely this is a toothpick call right here. Evan, Alabama today is going to win this game. That is for certain. I don't think this is going to be very close. This is a spot where you're going to see a lot of people on LSU, Alabama unranked, LSU ranked number 13 in the country, 15-2. Alabama's been a little bit disappointing at times, a little bit erratic. Alabama's laying 4 at most books. I'm actually going to take an alt line here, -9.5 on some of these two. But Alabama, I'll write this in the thing for you in a second, Evan. Toothpick call of the day, Alabama -4 versus LSU. Take that on the money line. Take that on the alt line, -9.5. Alabama wins this game by double digits tonight. Book it against a ranked LSU team at home. Crowd's going to be jumping. They're going to come out. Toothpick call of the day, Alabama, every angle possible. So really love them today. I'll make the official play here as we bring in Price Wallace for some golf. Any other NBA or college basketball or anything else from you guys?
Nope.
If I would have saw the Seminoles won last night, I would have came in full garb today.
Dude, Healy, it was your day to do it. It was your day to do it.
And Hoffman went against Tommy, put out a Duke play.
He's a Dukie. He fell into the trap, dude. That was a trap right there. Florida State was jumping.
Maybe there's a reason why Hoffman's not even in attendance in the audience today.
He's hiding from you. Poor He's man. Fucking hiding from you. Price Wallace, it is my favorite time of the week now after the last 2 weeks. You, my friend, are going to be my best friend on Wednesdays through Sundays, so I don't have to deal with these two fucking idiots. Price Wallace, our golf aficionado, been doing a fantastic job for us at 4DeepBets, become a big fan favorite amongst the chat. Golf's a great sport, Price, because you can hit plus 2,000s and plus 4,000s. Most of our subscribers are playing $5, $20, $25, so when they can throw – couple bucks on something to win a couple hundred, they love it. So Bryce, this week we have an interesting event here coming out of Hawaii where we're playing on multiple courses, the cuts 3 days in. Give us a little bit of an overview of this event that we're seeing right here.
Yeah, so it's a pro-am style this week, so you get celebrities to get tag along with everybody, so they kind of make the pin placement easier so that those guys can actually have birdie looks and make some putts, which is good for the pros, but it's very top heavy. All three courses are pretty easy. They all rank, I believe last year they're on the top 15 easiest courses on tour. A couple of them have been the top 3 and 5 easiest. So gonna be a lot of birdies. But for the betting, it kind of sucks because you have John Rahm and Patrick Cantlay who are just massive favorites. And then you have a bunch of other fillers who I believe I read it 6 of the last 12 people who've won here have been over 101. So yeah, long odds guys who win because, I mean, it's 6-7 hour rounds and these pros are not used to that. They're used to 3.5-4 hour rounds and it frustrates a lot of them. But at least it's not Hawaii, so it's not, you know, 7 hour wait time for it to start.
Yeah. The problem you're going to have here is it's a slower pace of play, right? When you're playing with these celebrities. So it does benefit certain players and will probably frustrate others.
Yeah. You have, I believe, two of the next three tournaments are pro-ams. You have this one, and then you have the one at Pebble coming up in a couple of weeks, but there've been a couple of guys who've done really well here. And then you have a couple like Russell Henley from last week who tried to kill all of our bets. He's been god awful at this, even though he rates out very well. So it's one of those people who doesn't do well with the long rounds.
It's funny. I actually have a play on here. Henley to miss the cut plus 250. I think that's in play there at those odds. What do you think of that? I know he's been fucking balling and he had a great tournament last week, but he seems like a guy who's not fit for this.
That, and coupled with the fact that he choked to lose last week, that's kind of hard to get over for most players, especially when he had it wrapped up and then you saw him get a little loose the last few holes and then lose in the playoff and now come to a place where he's never had success.
Yeah, there's a couple guys that everyone is real high on. Let me give you a couple numbers here, guys. Obviously, I've been, what you know off the top of your head, Price, I need to go spend 4 hours up till 5 a.m. research. you did mention that, you know, a lot of long shots win here. Here's the odds of the winners for the last 10 tournaments or so. 55-1, 200-1, 600-1, 10-1, 66-1, 40, 30-1, 135-1, 80-1, and 125-1. Are the winners over the last 10 tournaments here. So we are going to need to mix in some long shots. You did mention Rahm and Cantlay and a couple of these guys on a tournament where there's so many long shots winning consistently. I mean, plus 500, plus 900. You can't touch these guys.
I think the only way you touch them is if you parlay it with something.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, there's no value in betting them, because even with this not being as strong of a field, I mean, there's plenty of times last year where Rahm was a huge favorite and he didn't win.
Uh-huh.
He only has two wins in the last like 14, 15 months on tour. So even though he's the best player in the world, that's how hard it is to actually win one of these.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it for a golfer, especially when the course gets easier, that's where I think it would benefit the long shot. It hurts Rahm, right? Like Rahm 100%. Is probably he's going to dominate the toughest courses because he's possibly the best golfer in the world. Whereas it puts everyone else in play, right? If me and Giannis have a dunk contest on a 9-foot rim or 8-foot rim, I am in play, right? So the easy.
I don't know, you have a bad hip.
Yeah, I would have a bad hip. I'd probably need like a 7-foot rim so I could just reach up. A couple stats here too is that I saw 12 of the last 15 winners of this have been 32 years of age or younger, which is interesting. So don't be afraid to take some young guys here. Let's start basically, Price, wherever you want. We could just unload the clip here. We don't have to worry about hiding too much. We'll obviously have more plays for the subs on the site, but give me a couple things you want to give out to start. I have mine broken down into kind of some fun groups, winners, top tens, and then I mentioned the miss the cut. So what are you looking at here?
So I unfortunately only really have access to my bookie. Being in Texas, I don't have any decent books to use. But my favorite outright would probably Shamus Power. I mean, he was there last week. He had a bad round two. Otherwise, I think he's pushing Henley and Matsuyama. I've seen a lot of people on Wolf, which I don't believe he's a winner. He hasn't really proven on tour. I think he's more a DFS play than a bet.
He did have one of the most embarrassing collapses and ends of the year last year. I mean, Wolf had some pretty interesting experience with what did he miss hit a putt? Right? Like he went to practice, hit the fucking ball and miss hit it. And then he finished last in a tournament where he's sponsored by Gatorade or something. But yeah, I'm not on Matthew.
He has some big ups and downs, but yeah. I really like some of these young guys at long odds. Hayden Buckley, I used him last week and at the DFS side, he got 12th place. He played very, very solid. He's 125-1. Okay. Another Andrew. I was hoping Andrew Putnam would have a little bit better top 20 odds. I haven't seen anything better than like plus 460. But he's made the cut here, I believe, 4 years in a row, has good finishes and finished, I think, 27th last week. And he has a knack. It's a desert-style course, not something he really excels on.
All right, so just give me these again so I can write them in for Evan to put on the sidebar. So you got Buckley at 125-1.
Correct. And then Andrew Putnam to top 20.
Putnam, top 20. What are the odds on that?
It doesn't show on my bookie. I asked someone and they said it was plus 460. Actually,
I can get it right here. Hold on. I can get it right here. So we're looking at top 20 for Putnam finishing positions.
We're going to be showing Putnam. I'm not going to do my command F. Looks like he is plus 490 for top 20.
I think that's pretty solid value on someone who's done well here and does good on these courses.
Did you say someone before Buckley?
That's Seamus Power.
Powers, right. Yeah. What was Powers? Would you like him to win?
Yes, I like him to win.
All right. So I'm just putting these in. So that way a lot of people, we keep telling them to tune in at the end of the show so they can get the free plays. So 40-1 for Powers. All right. So I'm going to give you some plays that I got brewing here. I'll have some more on the site, believe it or not. So I was trying to figure out a way. I absolutely love Cantlay. Cantlay has made me a lot of money over the last few years. He's probably my favorite golfer to bet on, but I don't like his odds, right? Like I can't take a plus 900 to win the tournament. So one of the bets that I'm looking at here, let me just blow this up. I'm trying to figure out a way to get Cantlay and Rahm exposure without having to deal with the fucking win the tournament at less than plus 1,000. So I have Cantlay top USA player plus 550. So basically you're still getting a big jack there. What? Is that it? What? What are you hunting about? Is that a bet you do or something?
Maybe I might have mentioned that last week.
You like Connors. Canadian. Okay. Well, did you want to chime in with something?
No, I mean, I'll wait till you guys are done, and then I have one play.
Give yours first before
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Is it Cantlay plus 550?
It's not Cantlay
plus 550. Shut the fuck up.
I'm just wondering where you heard that from.
I didn't hear it from anywhere. I liked Cantlay.
Oh, Healy, it just popped out of his head.
It's fucking Cantlay. I'm taking your play. You didn't even know he was in the tournament. No, I was looking for a way to bet Cantlay, and I saw that there's no way to get him at plus money for anything really substantial except top USA player. And it's Finau, it's Gooch, who I like, Wolf, who I don't like, Henley, who we don't like, and Scheffler. So I think, what do you think of plus 550 there for Cantlay top USA?
I think it's him or Scheffler for the top American this week.
Yeah. So especially since you don't like Wolf and we don't like Henley. That takes out two of the big USA players in that list. So I like that. So I got that on the board here. Another group bet. I think you could find that on FanDuel. So that's on FanDuel, plus 550. If you wanted to even do a little hedge on Scheffler, since Price said he likes him there. Another one I like here, because I'm trying to find a way to get to Rahm too, is top continental Euro player. Now, this isn't top European player. Keep in mind, this is top continental Euro player. Okay. The top European player has Seamus Power in it, and I agree with you. I think that's a good play, so I don't want to fuck with that. The top continental Euro player does not. So Seamus Power is not in that. It's basically Rahm, Norin, Norlander, Molinari, Sabatini, and Straka. So Rahm minus 190 is the top continental Euro player. I think that's the way I'm going to play him. That way I don't have to worry about a top five, a win on a course where a lot of people come out of nowhere, and I'm basically just playing a fucking six ball. Instead of a three ball against Norin, Norlander, Molinari, Sabatini, and Straka. What do you think of that?
I think he should completely dominate them.
Yeah.
So I like that play, even though it's almost minus 200, but it should be free money because those other guys kind of suck.
I found it right before the show. I think that should be minus like 450, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with Power in there, I get it. Then it's tough because you got another stud in there. Justin Rose is in the European player and Power. So you got two guys who can bang. But I mean, minus 190, that's going to be a max bet for me, John Rahm, on that one. Bill, before I finish off some of these, I'll go to you.
I'm going to go right to my favorite, since we're doing that. Canadian, Corey Connors, plus 120, DraftKings. He's my favorite Canadian golfer. I think he's better than all the other guys on there. And then it goes right to my next play, who's also a Canadian. I hate the Canadians. They're all dirty. Dirty
Canadians. Dirty Canadians. Bill tagged
iconic
them.
Iconic. But today, I'm just in love with them for some reason. Hadwin to finish in the top 20. I love that. Plus 310 on FanDuel. Also a Canadian. So I'm going to go with those. Adam Hadwin, top 20 finish, plus 310. And Corey Connors to beat the best Canadian, plus 120. And if you want a little extra, I think an American wins, USA minus 175 to win.
Okay. And what was the Hadwin top 20? I'm just writing it in for Evan.
Plus 310.
Plus 310. So you got Connors top Canadian, Hadwin top 20, right?
Yeah. And then USA, if you want to risk a minus 175, is to a USA player to win it all.
I am not going to bet that because there's a guy that I like, Price. You know, I love my Asians. All right. I'm a big Asian golfer guy. I've been doing this for 7 years on SiriusXM. It was a fucking skit 7 years ago. I used to pick my top Asian golfers, right, Healy, and just pack in Asians into all my DFS lineups. I actually found a bet. So I like him. Okay. I like him on this course. He's plus 2,200 to plus 1,800, depending on where you're looking, which is good. But I also like Siwoo Kim on this one. Price, we got a bet on DraftKings. M or Siwoo Kim plus 1,400. So I get both of those guys for plus 1,400. What do you think of that?
I mean, Siwoo won last year.
Yeah. You know, I'm a big BVP guy. I love Corey. That's why all my plays either won last year, won last week, top five 2 years ago. I get them both plus 1,400 price.
And the only thing I see that is worse than with M is his putting, but it's going to be easier pin locations for him. Other than that, he's phenomenal in the model I built, and he's really – I think that's a really good play. You get two of them for that price.
Yeah.
Plus 120 for top Asian.
I see. That's the reason I'm worried. I'm a little worried about Kim, and I'm worried about his putting.
You can get Kim at plus 330 for top Asian.
Yeah. That was the thing. When I do those top groups, I like to just have a standalone guy. Like when there's two guys that I like
Connor. That's why I just do Connors.
Yeah. That's why M and Kim, I'm a little worried about those guys. I like both of them almost the same. Their odds are very different. So if you don't have DraftKings, you could bet him to win it. But I like getting both of them plus 1,400. That's a good one. There's another one I didn't bet here that I wanted your take on here. I like Gooch. I think he's in a pretty good spot on his. How does he rank in your model? I got him plus 2,900. Second as far as what?
So for overall stats, I weigh everything and combine it for the last 24 rounds, and he's second overall in my stat model.
Okay. Yeah. He's a guy that I like. So I like Gooch plus 2,900. And I don't know. There's another one here that's Gooch, Reed, and Zalatoris plus 1,000. So you get all three of those guys to win plus 1,000. I'm just not a fucking Zalatoris guy. I know everyone's in love with him all the time. And every week for fucking 2 years, everyone, Zalatoris.
Came in top 20 for me like every week last year.
And yeah. But I don't think he ever wins.
He doesn't. He comes in the top 20.
Yeah, he never wins.
Charles Howell. Right
there. Yeah. He seems like a good
shitload of money every fucking week last year.
Yeah, he seems like a great DFS guy, a great guy to be in the hunt late. But to win, I mean, the guy can't fucking win. So I don't want to do that plus 1,000.
He can't putt the same. He has the grossest putting I've ever seen of anyone watching golf.
Yeah, and everyone's on him every week.
He's not going to win very often unless it's one of those like one-off, like Puerto Rican Open, those kind of tournaments.
Like a lot of the big guys aren't in it or something.
But I hate Patrick Reed. He rates out like shit. I think he's going to miss the cut.
I think you can get pretty decent odds on that, actually. Let me make her miss the cut here. Let me see. To miss the cut on Reed, you can get plus 200
on Patrick Reed. He's a guy who, like next week, when it's a really tough course, he's in play. But on stuff like this, he's not someone who's going to rate out very well on birdie fest.
Yeah. I'll give another two long shot plays. I like, I'm going to leave one of them off. I'm going to leave one of them off for the subs. I am going to give this one though. This is probably the most predictable pick I was going to give out. Phil Mickelson plus 10,000 on FanDuel. Anytime there's a pro-am for the last 7 years, I've been betting Phil Mickelson. Just because I feel like this is his type of environment, right? And he's actually been playing better than people thought. But whenever you can go out there, I mean, you've had people fucking smoking cigars on the course, fucking pouring beers on each other's heads on this course. It's three different courses. There's celebrities. There's a big hoopla around it. There's a slow pace of play. Mickelson will be joking around. He won't be bothered by the slow pace of play. Mick's done really well at pro-ams throughout his career. So what do you think of Mickelson plus 10,000 to win? And then I also have Mickelson top 10 plus 900 and top 20 plus 450. What do you think of those three?
I like him in the pro-ams. He's done phenomenal in over the years. And he's on record saying these courses, you just hit the shit of the ball off the tee and then work your way in with wedges and putting. And that's what he does. He just hits bombs.
Yeah. And so, his history with pro-ams has been awesome.
I think like this week and then in 2 weeks at the AT&T program are probably his two best chances of winning on the PGA Tour besides his random PGA Championship win last year.
All right, sit down. All right, so you're not just co-signing him because you don't want to make me look stupid, right?
No, I think he's the only format he has a chance of winning are the pro-ams where it takes forever.
Evan, mute Bill. This fucking retard.
I think it was 2 years ago at one of the pro-ams where they were about to go to playoff, and he kept talking shit to Paul Casey saying, let's hurry up and keep playing so he could win and go home.
Yeah,
and Paul
yeah.
Casey wouldn't finish.
Yeah, any course like that. Anything else on this this golf that we need to look out for? We'll have a lot of first round winners up for the subscribers. We'll save those. We hit 2 weeks in a row. We've hit the first round winner, right? You hit it 2 weeks ago with Cam Smith, and I hit it last week with Kevin Na, +2,200 and +4,000. So I know they'll be begging for those. So we'll save those for the subscribers for deepbets.com and all the other. You'll probably have some head to heads and matchup bets too. You'll be throwing out, right, Bryce?
Yes, sir.
All right. Anything else on this course before we let you go?
I think that's about it.
All right, we covered it. Welcome to fucking four deep putts over here. Nice little healthy golf segment. Hopefully got you guys all ready. And feel free. Price is great with responding to any questions. Oh, shit, you got Gooch in there too. I didn't even see that. All right, Taylor Gooch, let's go. Price is great with responding to the golf questions. I only know the things I'm putting out. So I spend all my time researching about 10 things, and that's it. So if you ask me how fucking Patrick Reed's going to do or how fucking – you know, Hickok's going to do, I have no fucking idea. So I just tune into my fucking five or six things that I'm looking at. And then that's it. So don't ask me, ask Price Wallace at Price Wallace in the 4D Bets Discord. Cause I don't fucking know anything outside of the things I'm betting.
I think I might need to change it. Cause I was talking to Aber. I guess I'm the only dumbass to use my actual name. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has nicknames.
Yeah. I mean, you could do we can come up with a nickname. Do you have a nickname already?
I don't.
All right, so we're going to do Price Putts or something like that. We'll think of something. We'll figure something out. Brian Healy's usually good with those, so we'll see if he's got anything. Price Wallace, thank you for joining us, my friend. What's your Twitter? Shout it out so they can give you a follow.
It's at PWallace0912.
PWallace0912. That is his PIN code for his ATM machine, too, if you guys need that, guys, if you ever get a hold of Price's card. All right, Price, talk to you next week, brother.
All right, take it easy.
Peace. All right, you know what time it is, Bill Rupp. You're on mute. We muted you because we could hear your stupid ass talking in the background. You know what time it is, Bill? Is he still muted or no? Unmute yourself.
He's still muted, yeah.
Still muted.
I asked him to unmute, but.
All right. Here we go.
John Bill, muted. There you go. Now you're unmuted. You got your Capri Sun. You had your nice conversation.
I was dying of thirst. I had to.
All right. So, Bill, do you know what time it is?
NHL?
It is time for the fucking NHL picks.
I already have one.
Who don't know anything about NHL.
I already have one ready.
Bill has been on fire. I hit a +170 and hit a goal scorer last week with Austin Matthews. Scored the only goal for Toronto as the guy that I picked. Brian Healy struggled a little bit with a couple posts. No? The third line hit the post two times.
That was 2 weeks ago. Last week, hit a goal scorer.
Oh, that's right. You did. No. You did better than that. Didn't you hit fucking a +250 goal scorer?
Correct. +220 goal scorer. Correct.
Let's go. All right. Brian Healy back in the black on the hockey picks. And Evan, you came in hot week one with your Blues call. Don't remember how you did last week. Would you like to remind us?
I don't think the best. I don't think
no.
The best.
Okay. So we know how Evan did last week. All right. So Evan, are you going to make a comeback this week on the NHL slate with no Night Ghost on Wednesday, where we just donkey pick NHL plays and somehow they manage to hit?
Absolutely. Both of my picks are going to hit.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with you, Ev. Let's go.
First pick, Leafs Rangers over 5.5, -115.
Oh.
So that's my first one.
Rangers. And then I'm going to take that. The best thing to do is just parlay all of these together.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the next one's a parlay. It's going to be the Avs money line and the Coyotes money line +229. The Coyotes are playing the Devils, and the Devils have been sucking lately. Coyotes just won their last game. I think they got a good chance to win this one, too.
Right, look at you coming out with two fucking hockey picks. All right. Mr. Healy, where are you going today on the hockey edition?
I mean, I have to go to the game in New Jersey. I heard Night Ghost is going to be riding the Zamboni at the second intermission there at the Devils game tonight.
Is he? That's good news.
Yeah, so I got to go with the Devil tonight. I'm going to keep the goal-scoring streak alive. Andreas Johnsson of the Devils to score a goal +255. I mean, just
is that even his last name? I don't know who he is, but I'm assuming it's Johansson, and you're saying Johnson, or is it Johnson?
there's two S's. I don't know. John.
It sounds like his. It sounds like Andreas shouldn't have the last name of Johnson.
Johnson.
You get the point. I mean,
you may be right. I don't know
if there's any Johnsons in hockey.
Come on, there's Janssen. Maybe it's Andreas Janssen.
There we go.
Yeah,
that's good. Plus 255 to score a goal. Two absolutely garbage hockey teams. What happens when two garbage hockey teams play? Fireworks. The net's going to get lit up. Johnson, Johansson,
Janssen.
I might even put a bet in for him to score two goals tonight.
Wow. We're going fucking ham here. All right. Silly Billy Rupp, you were the one who initiated all the fucking donkey hockey picks when Night Ghost wasn't here that day with your massive all-favorite hockey bonanza the first time we did it. What are you looking at tonight, Bill Rupp?
I mean, the Avs on the road. Been killing it, like Evan says. I'm going to go a little crazy here and do a -1.5. The Avs -1.5 for -110. So that means the Avs win by two goals for you people who don't know much about hockey.
I mean, who aren't professionals like Bill Rupp.
Two pucks have to go through the net,
uh-huh.
Lights up, and they win by two. Could be 5-3, could be 4-2, whatever. As long as they win by two, you take home the money.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, I'm going right back to the well. With my hockey picks. I can't let Healy be the only one with a streak. I have to go defend my perfect goal scorer streak that I had with Austin Matthews last week. Does anyone want to take a guess where I'm going this week?
Matthews points.
Going right back to Austin Matthews. Score a goal. How do you not fucking run it back?
Makes sense.
This guy plays every Wednesday.
Makes sense.
Right. Don't Bill Rupp model. Don't fix it if it ain't broken.
Makes sense.
Do not fix it if it ain't broken, guys. Going right back to Austin Matthews to score a goal. And I'll give you a little fucking something special here. I'm going to give you another little something special because I love you guys, okay? I am going to go. I'm just putting it in right now to find out what the odds on this are. And I got to give you some plus money loving here. I'm going to get you could nibble on Austin Matthews' first goal scorer. Plus 850 also. But how about I give you a plus 410 parlay? You guys interested in that? Evan, what was your play?
It was the, let me see, Leafs Rangers over 5.5, and then Avs money line and Yotes money line parlayed.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a parlay plus 410, which is going to be the Leafs over plus 5.5, the Avs over alt line plus 5.5, and the Yotes over alt line 5.5. That will pay you plus 410. We're going to be looking for fucking the devil day. 6-6-6. Get six goals out of these three games, and we're going to nail it. So we're going plus 410 on that banger right there for you in the hockey world. And that is your donkey hockey plays of the day.
Yeah, I just have to update. I was browsing, found a much better line on my goal score.
Oh, let's go. We got to update that. Update that.
Plus 370 on FanDuel. So I just doubled down. I already hit him at plus 255 on DraftKings. Now I just had to hit him again, plus 370 on FanDuel.
Hitting it. Can we parlay Matthews and him?
Wait a second.
Getting a little crazy.
I mean, that's what we do here. We get a little fucking crazy. I just don't know if you can parlay goal scorers.
I'll tell you.
Of course you can. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we got to do it. We have a fucking Tommy G, Brian Healy, fucking banger. Healy, did you do any research on this, or did you just pick the first name that you saw?
No, a ton of research. This plus plus 840 for both of them to score.
I mean, there you go. Matthews and fucking Johansson, Janssen, Jonsson. Parlay, plus 850. Let's do that. And then I did notice here to wrap the show up, we do have some NFL props that have started to hit the board. I know we're going to go heavy on this on Friday. So obviously probably don't have too much right now for the NFL. No point in using the Wednesday show on NFL when we have all this other stuff. But is there anything that popped up that you guys are looking at? Bill, I think you mentioned something yesterday you wanted to hit when you saw it, something that you were looking at for this weekend. Either of you guys, Healy, is there anything you're looking at right now that you wanted to get down on early?
Yeah, one I did get down on early. It's Ryan Tannehill over 236 passing yards. I like this spot for him. One, he has a full complement of weapons back. And two, I think there's a good chance this game does shoot out. I know the Bengals offensive line will have some struggles, but that secondary, the Titans, still is not great. And I think in order to keep pace with Burrow, Tannehill will be forced to throw a little bit more in this one. I haven't projected closer to just under 270. So I think there's quite a bit of value. This is already up about 6 yards from the open. I think that's going to continue to go up and probably closes right around or just under 250.
Okay. Bill?
No, I was looking at Cam Akers stuff, but I don't believe
– I don't think it came up yet, right?
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not up yet. I'm all over the Packers, guys. So I got them at 5.5 already. I think they killed them. Not changing my mind. San Francisco's garbage. But they should have lost last week. I am riding the Packers. I am putting my win on it. I probably have a $10,000 bet on this. So I am going Packers all the way. I already have 5 on it. I'm not sure if I'm going to add another 5 or not. But I am on the Packers all the way. I think that they destroy this shitty, friggin' stupid running team with their shitty quarterback. But when they have to pass, throws a pick. Aaron Rodgers is going to come right out. It's going to be 7-0. He's going to have to throw the ball. Stupid, handsome Jimmy G. I told you last week, he's a little man-child quarterback. Jimmy G is the same thing. He sucks. I don't care what he's done. Packers all the way. Get it in now. Much as you can.
I mean, it's coming from the guy who just told you the Rams were going to absolutely skull fuck the Arizona Cardinals. And that was a skull fucking beyond belief.
Packers are the best team in football. That's it.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing this week with the 13-point teaser that got fucked up by the fucking little midget fuck getting skull fucked. And I'm going to do it two different ways, too. I'm going to give the one out here. I have a couple more. So, Evan, you can post the one I just wrote in the chat there. I would get this in right now while you see 5.5 on the Packer on the whatchamacallit, Packers game, because on a 13-point teaser, we can get Green Bay plus 7.5. So I want to get over that 7 number now. It's moving to 6 on some books. These lines are moving down. So I have a 13-point teaser here. I don't see how this loses. Teasers have been very good for NFL football over the years. Green Bay plus 7.5. Get that now before that goes to 6 and you're stuck on the 7 or 6.5. Rams plus 16. Bengals plus 16.5. And even though they say never come through the 0, I'm coming through the 0 on this one, because I'm getting all the way back up through the 3, 7, and 10 and 11 with the Chiefs plus 11.5. I think you can also go Buffalo plus 14.5. I think that's fine. I do think you could also go with the Niners plus 19.5. But for me, Green Bay 7.5, Rams 16, Bengals 16.5, Chiefs 11.5, 13-point teaser. Bill's account dumping on Dallas. I will probably be with Constantino. Constantino and Night Ghost at an event. Healy, I got to talk to you and Evan about this afterwards. We'll talk about it in the Discord for our subs. A little Atlantic City event going on this weekend. And I'm probably just going to go, here you go, boom, just dump all that at the window and then just dabble everything else. So that 13-point teaser is going to be my play. Bill, were you going to say something?
Green, you said Dallas. That was last week.
Green Bay. Okay. I meant Green Bay. Okay. Green Bay 7.5, Rams 16, Cincy 16.5, KC plus 11.5. All right. Bill, final words.
Collect on Monday, collect on Tuesday. I'm going to do the same thing next week. If you take the Packers, you'll be collecting with me.
All right. Brian Healy, final words.
Johansson is going to score a goal point. Johnson. Find him. Devils.
Johnson.
He's going to score.
Who knows? Andreas Johnson. He's gonna score. What's your name? Andreas Barkov Johnson.
Johnson.
Barkov Johnson.
Oh no, made up a middle name. Evan Hand, final words.
All right. Yotes and Leafs. That's hitting tonight. Guaranteed.
Yotes and Leafs. All right. Buckle up for your Austin Matthews fucking goal, probably right out the gate. Bang bang. If you can get first Toronto goal, I do like that. For Matthews, I don't see it here, but if you can get that first, That's it. We're going to fucking smash. We covered fucking college basketball, football, golf, fucking pro basketball. We had some fun. We fucking talked some hot topic. Got a lot of shit done. This show's so much better without Night Ghost. I'm telling you. It's just such a better product, isn't it, guys? All right. For Evan and Brian Healy, Bryce Wallace, Bill Rupp, I am Tommy G. Good luck. Stay cashing, motherfuckers.